You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I want to teach on Mary tonight, just shortly. I'm going to keep you long, maybe 30 minutes or so. What kind of a woman did God, the Father, choose to raise his son and ultimately her son? I mean, really, because it was her baby. She raised him. You know, Jesus, the man part of God, was raised by Mary. I don't know, the Catholic Church maybe goes too far in venerating and honoring Mary and this almost to the point of worship. That's too far. She wouldn't want that, and we don't need to do that. But I think sometimes we don't go far enough in crediting her as being the one that God picked out of all the women in the world. At that time, he picked her out to raise his son. Now, that says something. There was something in her. There was some stability in her, some loyalty in her, some commitment in her, some passion in her, some care in her that God had implanted in her and recognized, watched it develop, and said, that's who's going to give birth to my son. And sent Gabriel, the angel, to announce to him the Annunciation, that thing which should be born of her, be of the Holy Ghost, and be called the Son of the Most High. Hallelujah.
Woo!
And she said, be it unto me according to your word. I mean, she didn't back up. She just said, just be it unto me according to your word. And because she believed, the Bible says, because she believed, there was a performance of the things that were told her from the Lord. Her cousin Elizabeth actually said that. It says, because thou hast believed, there shall be a performance of the things that have been told you by the Lord. And man, that's a mouthful there. That's a camp meeting we can have on that verse alone. If you want a performance of what God says to you, then you're going to have to believe the things that he says. If you want a performance of the things that he says to you to come to pass. And evidently she had that. Now, you know, if you examine Mary and look at her life, she was a woman of the word. She was actually full of the word. In fact, what we call the Magnificat or Magnificat, I don't know what the Latin term is, I don't speak Latin, but where she begins to praise the Lord. In Luke, the first chapter, if you're taking notes, Luke 1, 46 through 55, this is where she praises the Lord. In fact, we used to sing a song years ago, my soul is magnified the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior, for he that is mighty has done great things, holy is his name. My soul doth magnify the Lord, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior. That's the way it went. For he that is mighty has done great things, and holy is his name. Well, that was from her prayer, or her praise, where she began to praise God over the fact that she was going to give birth to the Son of God. And so if you examine this alone, if you just looked at this, this kind of gives you an idea of what kind of home that God chose for his son to be raised up in, for Jesus to be raised up in. It's important the kind of home you're raised up in. We see a lot going on in the world today, a lot of tragedy, a lot of crisis, a lot of people flipping out and so on. And yet you look at the home life, not to put the whole blame on the parents, I'm not saying you can't do that. But there's a lot of tragedy comes out of single parent homes. Are you with me? And that's not to say it's impossible, but you know, it's not God's will. God's perfect will is to have a father and a mother. Stay with me. That's not always the case. That's not always possible. Sometimes there's a lot of circumstances that take place and that split marriages up, families up. But I tell you what, it's rough on the kids. It's a harder row to hoe, as it were, because it's not what God wants. It's not his perfect will. That's not an indictment on great mothers that have done their best to raise their children in those circumstances, or even fathers that have done the same and gotten custody of the kids and tried to make that work too. But here's a couple, Joseph and Mary. You study their lives. Joseph was a just man. You know, I think about when he found out that she was pregnant, not having, you know, he never had relations with her. She was just betrothed to him, or, you know, they were going to be married. Under the law, he could have had her stoned. That's what the law says. But it says Joseph being a just man. I like that. A just man was willing to put her away privately instead of make a public example of her. Now, see, that to me he had the heart of God there, and God recognized that. That's who he wanted to, that's the kind of man he wanted to raise his son. Someone who was not just the letter of the law, but was just. You know, even in the sense where it says, you say, well, now the law says stone her, he should have stoned her. Well, tell Jesus that in John 8 chapter when they threw that adulterer in front of him and said, the law says stone her. What did he do? He didn't stone her. In fact, he said, let him without sin cast the first stone. So you got to think about that. I wonder sometimes, of course, Jesus got that from his father, God, in heaven, but he saw that same example in his father, Joseph. Are you out there? Because his father, he stood at that crossroad. He had that choice to make in his life. And he chose justice, mercy, are you with me? And wouldn't make a public example out of his mother. So here comes now Jesus at the crossroads. Well, he'd already seen that example in his daddy on the earth, the one that raised him, and his real daddy in heaven. Hallelujah. And his mama just filled with the word. Listen to this. This is amazing to me. When you read through this prayer of praise or exaltation, goodness, she refers to Samuel. Hannah's prayer is real close to this. Remember, Hannah cried out for a son and got a son in 1 Samuel. And she had a praise that she worshipped and praised God in rejoicing when she found out she was going to have a son. And this is very similar to that prayer. She quotes from Jeremiah. She quotes from the Psalms. She quotes from Exodus. She quotes from Isaiah. Now here she is, a very young girl. She's probably a teenager. This is very common back then. Most all scholars agree that Mary at this time was probably just a teenager. And she was a virgin. And what was born of her was of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost overshadowed her, you know, and that thing was born of her was called the Son of God. And yet, in responding to all that and in worshiping God through all that, she was just quoting Scripture. Just singing Scripture, just praising God with Scripture, just praying Scripture. She was a woman of the Word. And God will always be at home and take up shop, move right in and sit on your couch if your house is full of the Word. No question. His presence will come in. He'll abide. He'll stay. Amen? And this is the woman that he picked. Luke 1:46, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Oh my. Now see, that reeks of, reeks probably not the right word. That has a negative connotation. But it sounds so similar to what Hannah said. If you're writing notes, you don't have to turn back and forth because I'm going to quote other verses. Just stay there in Luke. But if you're writing notes, 1 Samuel 2:1, Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. I rejoice in thy salvation. So, and she was rejoicing for a child, Hannah. And here's Mary rejoicing for the promise, you know, of a child, Jesus. Next, verse 47, verse, she said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior, my Savior, my Savior, my Savior. See, that's what Hannah said. She rejoiced in your salvation, is what she said to the Lord. And here, Mary is rejoicing in God, her Savior. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. Amen. You say, well, what do I have to praise God about? Salvation. Yes. Praise God, deliverance. God's not an abstract thought, some faraway being on the other side of the cosmos. He is my Savior and your Savior. Hallelujah. In fact, that's what Christmas is all about, is we can be saved now. God visited us, you know, Emmanuel, God with us. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means. It's deliver. Joshua, Old Testament, Hebrew, Jesus, New Testament, same word. It means deliver, salvation, Savior. Woo! And my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. Hallelujah. That's right out of Samuel when you think about it. Then she says in the 48th verse, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. She recognized that her connection to favor, her connection to being blessed, had to do with God considering her and regarding her. I think we go through life a lot of times not realizing how blessed we are because we don't make that connection. Well, people aren't paying attention to me. People aren't giving me the breaks I need. Listen, God has favored you. So you are blessed. Now, if you have as much sense as Mary did, and she did have spiritual sense, a lot more than a lot of us, a lot more than I do sometimes, she recognized that all you had to do, God, just look on me. Just regard me. Just shine your face on me. You do that, and I mean all generations are going to call me blessed. Because if I have the favor of God, everything else falls in place. See, she recognized spiritually that she didn't need man's favor. She didn't need man's recognition. She needed God's favor and God's recognition. And all of creation would come to grips with it and recognize it if God himself put his hand upon her, and he did. That opened the door for everything else. You know, sometimes we spend all of our time in life trying to attain goals and get people to like us or make money or whatever the case may be. We need to get the favor of God on our lives. That's what we need to do. And the truth be known, we've got it, just don't know it. We've had it ever since Jesus came. Just that, like that video we just saw, he made all things new. This was his will, for him to come, to die, to rise again, so you could be saved. Hallelujah. So you could be graced, so you could be favored, so you could be blessed. Hallelujah. And you and I are blessed because of what Jesus did, because he came. Christmas. Love it. Christmas reminds us that God visited us, that God keeps his promises, God does what he says. He always comes through. And he came through on this deal, big time. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Doesn't matter what your social status is or standing is or educational status is, financial status is. Doesn't matter. No, no, no. God regards you. God loves you. God cares for you. God favors you. And he picked Mary out and favored her. Mary was not a ritzy hottie-totty. You can say it that way. She wasn't... She didn't have an abundance of wealth. She didn't have servants. In fact, when she went to Bethlehem, she was riding on a donkey and her husband was taking her with her. They didn't have servants with them. They didn't have a lot of money. Now, I believe in prosperity and God does prosper us. And God did bless them later, no question. They begin to be blessed. In fact, frankincense, gold, and myrrh showed up within the first 2 years of his birth. And with that, they left and went to Egypt for a while and then came back into Judea with that money and probably helped Joseph in his business as a carpenter. So they were blessed in that sense, but not originally here. In fact, she says low estate. She wasn't making that up. Are you with me? She wasn't just luxuriously rich by far, far from it. At this point, when God picked her, he did not pick out someone with the most money. He didn't pick out somebody with the most talent. He picked out somebody with a pure heart. He picked out a woman that had trust and faith in God. He picked out a woman that knew the word, that quoted the word, that was familiar with the word, that was looking to heaven for her help and looking to heaven for her blessing. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. I may be in a low estate, but God has just now touched me. God has just now shined on me. God has favored me, and because of it, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Wow, how prophetic and how insightful, how revelatory, I guess you'd say, that is, that she knew that. And Mary is known around the world. Think about it. We don't pray to her, we don't worship her, but you know what? I mean, blessed. She's blessed among women, that's for sure. She's the mother of Jesus, and for that, I honor her without question, you know, and esteem her highly. And she must have been some kind of woman for God to pick her out to give birth to her son. She must have been very spiritual, very mature in that sense, very tender, very compassionate. She must have had a great heart. I can't imagine God putting Jesus in anybody else's home. Can you? I mean, you know how picky sometimes we are about who keeps our kids and, you know, and our grandkids. But this is God. This is God. Now, he picked the best. And the best didn't have to do with money. The best had to do with heart. The best had to do with the knowledge, not of the world, but of the word. In her case, she was full of the word. 49th verse says, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Well, that's Jeremiah 33, Psalm 71:19. Jeremiah 33 says, call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. He that is mighty, God Almighty, he has done great things. Amen. She recognized that, see. She knew who mighty was, who was mighty, and it was God. And she knew he did great things, and he did great things for her. And this was a wonder. See, she recognized all this. Listen, the whole world wasn't running to her at this point. Everybody wasn't on her bandwagon. In fact, her husband had doubts and had to have a dream from heaven to keep from putting her away. And as just and holy as he was to put her away privately, he didn't see the future that she saw. She interpreted, she understood the implication when that angel visited her, Gabriel visited her. She knew how this was going to turn out. This is going to change the world. Not everybody else recognized that. Not at that time at all. But she did. Wow. He that is mighty has done great things, and holy is his name. Psalm 71:19 says, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? See, that just sounds, it just echoes of the Psalms and of Jeremiah and then earlier there of Hannah and 1 Samuel. Well, I mean, where did she hear that? You know, we got to stop for a minute and think about this too. She must have had godly parents to have heard that. Because see, under Jewish law, women didn't study the law. Not back then in Jesus' day. They didn't do that. The men studied the law. Are you with me? They're the ones that, you know, went through all the learning the Shema, learning the first five books, the Pentateuch, the Torah, the law, the Old Testament. They're the ones that came, the priest, and so on and so forth. This is under the law now, under Mosaic law. So for a woman to come along here to be this well-versed, it speaks well of her family to have sat down with her as a child and to teach her and lead her and guide her in the Word. And then this just coming out of her heart. I mean, here she is just as a teen praising God, and it's just nothing but Scripture. that's why one of the reasons God chose her. There's a lot of things that are significant. Think about the choosing of Jesus' birth, the family he's born into, the city he was born into, Bethlehem. Bethlehem, city of bread, house of bread. House of bread. And Jesus is the bread. In fact, he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. I am the bread of life, is what he said. So where was he born? Bethlehem. The house of bread. Had to get him down there to get him born in that city because that's where the bread of heaven came down. Wow. Well, the 50th verse says, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. She saw way past her life. She saw way past just that time period that she lived in. From generation to generation, from now on, people are going to call me blessed. From now on, his mercy is going to be on all those that fear him. And, of course, that's Exodus 20, verse 6. If you're writing notes, it says, and he shows mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Psalms 103:17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. She's just quoting Scripture. That's all she's doing here. He has showed strength with his, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Exactly what Exodus says, exactly what Psalm says. I mean, you know, just in a normal conversation or prayer that you pray, what an example this is for us. How do you pray? I know we pray, you know, whatever's going on personally, our situation, pray for help and ask for wisdom and so on and so forth. But our prayers, if you're going to be, follow the Bible examples. I tell you, a good one is to follow Mary. Then your prayer should be full of the Word. And when you're thanking God and praising God, you know what? Not a better way to thank him than just thank him with a word. Thank him for who he says he is. Thank him for what he says he'll do. Thank you for what he said he will do and has done. That's what she was doing here. And there's all kinds of verses to glean from and to take from, you know. 51st verse. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Well, Isaiah 40, verse 10 says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." You know, I heard this one time. I thought it was real good that, you know, God talks about his right hand, and so on and so forth. But usually when he talks about salvation, he says his arm. And the arm is stronger than the hand. And it took more strength to save you. Are you with me? Yeah. All the things that God does, he mentions a lot of things he does with his hand, the right hand. But his arm of salvation, it's his arm of salvation. That's pretty significant when you think about the symbolism that he uses there, the analogy, the strength of his arm. Hallelujah. He has showed strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud to the in the imagination of their hearts. Can you imagine think about salvation? Think about the birth of Jesus. We've talked about this before. Of all the ways God could have come and saved us, and he chose a little baby in a manger. Became a babe in a manger. A very weak looking thing. I mean, the natural. And he chose Mary, Joseph, who just, they weren't just, you know, overflowing with money. I mean, they did have a donkey. That was pretty good. Didn't mention any servants. They had no servants that we know of at all. And she says low estate. See, that right there is in fulfillment of what she's saying here, scattering the proud in their imagination. Well, when Jesus shows up, he's going to be all decked out and dressed up. He's going to be popular, and he's going to be well-known. And are you with me? And you know, if I'm going to make it in the ministry, I got to get well-known. People got to get to know me. I've got to get a bunch of money. Wait a minute. I believe in prosperity. I'm for that. I think God does bless us. There's no question. But you don't need that to fulfill the will of God. Okay? In fact, God delights in doing things that just, you know, that according to what she says here, scatters the proud in their imagination. He likes doing things that untraditional ways, untraditional methods. You know, even disciples didn't get it. I mean, when you think about it, when Jesus rose from the dead and was fixing to ascend to heaven, they said, "Lord, are you going to restore your kingdom right now?" They thought he was going to take over the Roman Empire and set up his kingdom right then, you know, with power, with force. You know, the devil had no idea that Jesus was coming to die. He thought if he could kill him, he could wipe this thing out. That's the very thing he came to do, was to die. All the devil did was fulfill the will of God when he killed Jesus. And the scripture says, in 1 Corinthians 2 chapter, it says, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So God chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And he chose a lowly teenage girl, not well-to-do, but very mature in heart, and very filled with the word. Because in God's eyes, those things are top on the list. You've got a good heart and you're full of the word, well, everything else take care of itself. Amen? You keep your heart pure, and you keep your heart full of the word, and Jesus will take up shop and sit down in your home. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And whatever God wants to do in your circle of influence in the world that you live in, he'll choose you to do it through. If your heart's right and you're full of the word. Amen? Okay, let me hurry on here. Man, I'm taking longer than I thought. It's just good stuff to meditate on. Says here that 52nd verse says, "He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and he hath exalted them of low degree." There it is again. She reiterates that point that you know, men look at power, men look at position, men look at money, men look at a name, a person having a certain name and a certain family, and so on and so forth. But God looks at the heart. Men look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And this is the second time she mentions this in this one verse of praise, I guess you'd say, prayer or praise, is that he hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. That's exactly what Hannah said in 1 Samuel 2, verse 8. 53rd verse says, "He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty." Now, does God not care about the rich? No. But the rich that are proud can't be helped by God. God loves rich people, loves poor people, loves all people in between. But see, our heart can stop us from receiving. And sometimes if you have riches, if you trust in those riches, it'll keep you from God. Not the riches, but the pride. The heart. Amen? It's the love of money. Not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Hey, we're a blessed church. I'll tell you what, we can't do what we do around here without prosperity, without blessing, without financial money, green American greenbacks. Okay, I believe in money, financial blessings. But I believe in using it right. Are you with me? All the missions we support, the food bank, the Hallelujah Night, it takes money to do that. But because our heart's right, God has no problem giving us money. We're a blessed church. We're not in debt. We're out of debt. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know, we're not singing the praises of riches. We're singing the praises of God, how he's blessed us and how he's anointed us. And we're doing what we can to help others. And as long as we keep helping others, God told me one time out here, before we'd poured all this parking lot, we'd poured one section, and I was pacing, just calling in the next section and praying in tongues. I used to pray in tongues out there all the time when we were still had 3.5 acres, and we're still, before we got all these buildings and before we got all this concrete poured, because we pay cash on everything. We pay cash on that concrete section by section, and so I was looking at that other section I was believing God for and calling it in and just praying in tongues, pacing back and forth and calling in and thanking God for it. And God spoke to me. He said, son, you keep supporting missions like you are supporting. You can have all the concrete you want. Because we touch the heart of God. First thing first, take care of others, help others, and God will take care of us. He gives seed to sowers, amen? So he's looking for people that sow to give seed to. We're looking for seed to sow. He's looking for sowers to give seed to. He has filled the hungry with good things and the rich he sent away empty. 54th verse, he is holding his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus coming was God remembering his mercy. Not God remembering his judgment. Not God remembering the law. But God remembering his mercy. Thank God his mercy endures forever and ever. From everlasting to everlasting. You know, we can talk about it. God's holy. Well, yes, he is holy, but God is also love, and God is merciful, and mercy rejoiceth over judgment. In fact, the will of God for all of us was to go to hell because of our sin, but you know, his mercy was greater than his judgment, and anyone who repents and anyone who calls, he just exits out his judgment and takes you to heaven with him because his mercy is so great, and his love is so great. It overwhelms his judgment when someone turns and calls. Woo! He has held up his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. She's talking about her heritage. She's talking about the promise God made to Abraham. She's talking about what God had said he'd do to Abraham, and that's what she saw coming through Jesus Christ. She was a woman of the word that understood the implications of what was going on. I wonder sometimes if we understand the implication of what's going on inside of us. Think about it. Because really, I mean, if we be like her and say, be it unto us according to the word, according to your word, we'd understand the impact that we could have by serving God and having his hand, his blessing on us. Real quickly, I'll wrap this up. She was a woman of words. She's full of the word. She gave birth to the word. If you want to give birth to the word, you need to be full of the word. Obviously, you can't give birth to what you're not pregnant with. Not to be crude, but think about it. You have to be so filled. You must carry it sometimes for a while, but you carry it. You talk about it around everybody. In fact, it's evident to everybody that you're filled with the word, just like a woman is filled with a baby. It's evident as time progresses, if she holds on and carries it, it's evident to all that she has something in there. Are you with me? Now, we need to be that way, like Mary, be filled or pregnant with the word, as it were, that we're carrying it. We carry it everywhere we go. We don't go anywhere without the word, no more than a pregnant woman goes anywhere without the baby. Are you out there? So she carried it everywhere she went. She was filled with it, and she gave birth to it. Now, there are all kinds of promises here that you and I haven't given birth to yet, that haven't come to pass yet. still standing on them, still carrying on them. One day, we're going domino. Are you with me? One day, we're going to give birth. If we keep carrying it, we keep carrying it, we're going to have this baby. Are you with me? See, that's what Mary did. That's what we got to do. She was filled with the Word, and therefore she gave birth to the Word. You can't give birth to something you don't have on the inside. You can only give birth to what is in you. So if you want healing, you're going to have healing in you first before it ever comes out of you. Isn't that right? If you want peace, you're going to have peace in you. You're going to have to get the Word in you of peace and comfort and all those things before it comes out. And then, of course, you know, be familiar with the Scripture, the Bible, just like she was. Moses, Psalms, prophets, all the things that she said. And, you know, I think something we miss here, too, is her faith statements about herself. I am blessed among all women because of this. They will call me blessed. He has done great things for me. She said me in there. It's one thing to talk about God in a general sense that he does things. It's one thing to talk about being a Lord and a Savior and a healer. But it's another thing to say the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is, he is the Lord that heals me. He's my healer. He takes away my disease. See, she made personal statements about the Word. She didn't just say words, quote Scripture. She knew that, thank God. But she connected them with herself. She said, they'll call me blessed, and the Lord has done great things for me. Woo! Man, it's better preaching. Y'all are amen, and it's good stuff. She recognized and she acknowledged the source. And praised the source of her blessing. She was talking to God, praising God. The obvious point of all this is she worshipped him and praised him. She knew this not only changed her in God's sight, and in her sight, but it also changed her in the sight of others as well. All generations are called blessed. When God blesses you, you are blessed. And when God exalts you, people know it. James 4:10 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. First you humble yourself in his sight, then he exalts you. He doesn't leave you down there. You don't have to, you know, roll around on the floor like a dog. We're not dogs. We're children of the Most High. Amen? Children of the King. Hallelujah. We're kings and priests to our God. Well, Mary referred to several scriptures. I mentioned that several times here already. She was a woman of the Word. She was well-versed and understood the implications of her experience. And that parallel we see also in Hannah. That's the kind of woman that God chose to raise his son. And let me tell you something. It was not an easy thing to do. And the hardest part, And I can't even watch it. I mean, you ever see the movie The Passion? I saw it one time, got the DVD, and I've never played it again. It just jerks my heart. I mean, I just, wow, just give me a blanket, a towel. I can't, you know, Kleenex box not going to be enough. And even that little short clip tonight, can you imagine what Mary went through? How do you think she did that? How did she go through that? The Word. She showed up at the tomb. Are you with me? She carried it. She was there at the day of Pentecost with 120 and got filled with the Holy Ghost and came out speaking in tongues with the rest of those guys. She was there. That's what Scripture says. She was there. How did she make it through all that? She had the Word. Oh, she hurt. No, there's no question. She hurt like anybody hurts. She cried like anybody cried. Gut-wrenching tears, I'm sure. I can't imagine what she's going through watching all that go on. And yet, she didn't go insane. She didn't go crazy. She stayed with it. And today we call her blessed. Think about it. Now, if you want to be like that, well, get in the Word and praise God and worship him. And have compassion, have concern, have care. And just let God bless you. Amen. Christmas, think about it. You know, it's Christmas time. I just, kind of a sidetrack, but I just thought about, you know, her praising God for the birth of Jesus here. We are excited about the birth of Jesus here. She's the one aboard Jesus. She's a great pattern. Amen.